welcome those who are watching online. If you're tuning in for the first time, my name is Pastor Ryan, and we're just glad that you have joined us this morning for worship. Pastor Mac is here, as he is each Sunday, giving us a message from God's Word, also for the children. And so, kids, welcome to... Hey, it even works for me.
We didn't even have to cue you up. You already knew it was coming. Thanks, Pastor Ryan. You know, someone told me this morning, I'm on like week 50 of using liquids for the illustration. Apparently, that's what I do. But anyways, so kids, if you need a better view, you can come over here for a minute. You know, what Pastor Ryan's preaching on this morning is we're still in the Beatitudes, but he's on Matthew 5:9. It's blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called sons of God. Hey, raise your hand. Do you say blessed or blessed? Some of you didn't even raise your hand. All right. Well, kids, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. What does that mean? What's a peacemaker? It's kind of in the words already. They're makers of peace. All right. Good job. So maybe we should have put like some coffee in the lemonade to wake them up this morning. Okay. We don't do that here. I'm just kidding. So, They're makers of peace, but we're, you know, you're going to see in a second, we're kind of like these coffee mugs. Our hearts, if you were here last Sunday, you would have seen it as well. Our hearts are not filled naturally with God's peace. They're just not. We're really good at causing problems. Naturally, that's what we do. So what in John 16:33, it says, in me, you will find peace. That's what Jesus speaking. He's saying, you're going to find peace where? In me, in Jesus. Hey, you're starting to wake up. Good job. In me, you'll find peace. In the world, you'll find troubles. But take heart, I've overcome the world. I love that. I hope you enjoy that verse. So I have this illustration going to help us this morning kind of understand what's going on, because we have to take peace and go be peacemakers. Well, this liquid right here represents Jesus, and this liquid represents the world. I thought red was a good color for the world. And we are these mugs. What do you put in a mug? Coffee. What color is coffee? Black. Black. It should be black, unless you're like me and you put a bunch of other stuff in it. But black. It's kind of like our hearts without Jesus. Black. But that verse said, in me you'll find. Let's try that again. Okay, I want to hear the kids nice and loud. Jesus says, in me you'll find. There we go. Good job. In me you'll find peace. You know, whatever we fill ourselves up with, that's what we're going to pour out. If we fill ourselves with Jesus, that's what we'll pour out. If we fill ourselves with the world, what are we going to pour out? The world. Whatever you fill yourself with, that's what you're going to pour out. But this verse says, blessed are the peacemakers. That means we have to take Jesus's peace and bring it to the world. So when we, look at what happens when we do that. When we take Jesus's peace and we bring it to the world, something starts to happen. We continue to fill ourselves with Jesus' peace, and we take it to the world. And we continue to do that. Now, this bucket runs out eventually, but Jesus doesn't. There's no lack of peace there. What do you guys see happening to this liquid? It's not looking like it was, is it? When we continue to fill ourselves with Jesus' peace and we pour it out, we become peacemakers, the world starts to look a lot different, a lot more like Jesus. That's what this verse is talking about. Blessed are the peacemakers because they'll be called sons of God. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, I want to challenge you guys. I want to challenge the kids in here to be peacemakers. And you know what the first step is? Can you give something away that you don't have yourself? Can you do that? No. You have to have Jesus' peace. So that's what I'm going to challenge you guys with. Start with obtaining peace from Jesus. The only way to do that, just like this mug, we've got to be in Jesus, okay? That means reading and praying. And then when you're around friends at school or you're at home and your sister wants to, like, pull your hair or take your candy or, I don't know, do sister things, then you can be the peacemaker, okay? Well, would you guys join me? We do have Sunday school upstairs, but I want to pray first, and we also have the nursery if you need that. But let's pray, okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you don't say, be a peacemaker and figure it out on yourself. Go figure it out, you'll do okay. No, what you say is, be peacemakers, come to me for peace. I will help you. You don't have to do it yourself. Father, I thank you that you provide the peace and that we know where to go. It's very simple. God, so I pray for each one of these kids that that's what they learn. They learn that being a peacemaker provides an opportunity. God, an opportunity, like we saw in this illustration, to spread your peace in the world, transforming the world because of your love. God, so I pray for our kids that they would learn this, not because they logically thought about it, but because your Spirit teaches them. Father, I pray for them this morning as they study and read and listen, God, that they would hear from you personally while they focus on your word. Bless them in their time upstairs or in here, Father, and bless the teachers for their willingness to serve in this way. God, we love you and we thank you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Mac, for these excellent illustrations. Mac is really good at this, isn't he? He's doing a nice job with this. Yeah, let's give him a hand. So good. Well, it's so good to be back with you. My family and I were on vacation, and we went to Oregon talking about peace. We were at the ocean, and something about the mighty ocean that also is peaceful at the same time. And God is so creative and so good and kind to shower us with that peace. Well, as Max said, we are in the Beatitudes still. I think he said that. We're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. And as you turn there, as we look at that Beatitude this morning about peace, I want to ask you a question to begin with. Who did you lose in this last year? Who did you lose? I'm not talking about someone who has died. We've had some of our friends die this last year. But who did you lose? Like a relationship that has gone sideways. Maybe it was over politics. Maybe it was over even how the church has handled the coronavirus and different political things. Who did you lose? Did you lose a relationship this last year? Did you have a relationship that goes sideways? Maybe it was with a mom or a dad or a good friend. I think many of us might have some of those relationships in our lives. So keep that in your mind as we look at God's word this morning. Because Jesus said in this Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who keep peace. I think that I don't know about you, but I do not like conflict. Who in this room likes conflict? I mean, you just enjoy it. You just run towards conflict. No one here does. But yet how many of you? No, I won't ask that question. But we don't like conflict. We'd rather probably keep the peace, right? We don't want any conflict. We want to keep the peace. I remember growing up in a home where my dad, I loved him to death. I loved him. And he's with Jesus now. But he didn't like conflict. he would just kind of like, everything's okay. And he would just kind of sweep things under the carpet. And wouldn't he, how many of you grew up in a home like that? Right? Where you didn't address things and things were just, you didn't talk about things. Everybody's, you can have conversations with each other when you get home, but not now. Now's not the place or the time. But we'd rather just keep the peace, I think. And there's a difference that Jesus is talking about here this morning. A difference between peacekeeping and making peace. Do you know that every day around the world there's more than 90,000 UN peacekeepers? And their jobs are to go into the some of the world's most vital places and keep peace. They ensure that peace treaties that were agreed upon, that they stay in agreement. And they work to keep peace. They don't make peace, but they keep peace. Peace. And there's a difference there. You know, keeping peace, as I said, is like, hey, there's no problem, right? In the home I grew up in, there's no problem. Keeping peace sometimes can be used to deny the truth of what's going on or the situation around you. Keeping peace can be used to even cover up things, right? Can cover up sometimes injustice rather than healing injustice. Keeping peace is really more about preserving our own comfort, right? Because we don't want to go into conflict. We want things just to be smooth sailing. But peacemaking is something totally different. And Jesus is saying the way to walk in my kingdom is to be a peacemaker. In its broadest sense, being a peacemaker is someone who brings reconciliation. And we're going to talk about that's what Jesus did with us. Being a peacemaker is one who goes into sometimes conflict where there's animosity, you know, usually between two different people or in a situation, and we bring the peace of Jesus Christ. We bring reconciliation, right? We bring the peace of Jesus, bringing back people back together, helping to heal and mend relationships. And so I want to pray again, and let's ask the Lord to speak to us in relationship to being a peacemaker. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we receive your word this morning. And Lord, I know that there's probably none of us that like conflict. But Lord, you are the one who brought peace to us, and you call us to be makers of peace. And so help us in this. God, our world is in need of followers who will actively go and pursue and long for and make peace. So help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've been walking through these Beatitudes, and I think I've said this as we've been walking through with them. They're not just like kind little statements or suggestions of Jesus. Hey, it would be good if you lived this way. You know, if you like it, then, you know, follow this. No, these are key characteristics of a follower of Jesus. And he says, if you're going to be in my kingdom, then you need to be a people that are like this. You need to be a person who pursues peace and makes peace, not just keeps the peace, but makes peace. And something I've been saying often through this series is that when the people heard this, that were gathered on the mountainside. So let's just imagine this is a mountainside and we're gathered here together. When they heard these words, this was unsettling to them. These words would have unsettled their hearts because they would have looked at the Beatitudes and they were listening to Jesus and they said, how is this possible? How can I be a person of mercy? Because I'm not naturally a person of mercy. I want to just crush the enemy. When there's something wrong, I want to go after them. So how is this possible? Well, Jesus is communicating here in this sermon. It's only possible through the divine intervention of Jesus in our lives. We can only be these kinds of people, friends, by a new kind of spirit. the Spirit of God working in our lives. That's the only way that these can come about. You know, this statement here of Jesus, blessed are the peacemakers, would also would have surprised the Jews, because the Jews, remember, were longing for, God's people were longing for this Messiah that would just come and crush the enemy, would just take care of all their oppressors, set them up to be this powerful nation, come in with military force and strength, and he who would just deliver them from all their oppressors. That was their idea of peace. Even John the Baptist. Remember when John the Baptist was in prison, you know, I imagine him sitting there and he was questioning, where is this Messiah? You know, I hear that he's doing all these miracles. But John the Baptist sent someone to say, go ask him, is he the one? Because he's talking about all mercy and peace and about all these things. And I like all that. But man, the enemy is at work here. Is he really the Messiah? You know, history tells us around the time of Jesus was born, there was this city about 3.5 miles from Nazareth, the city of Sepphoris. And you can research this, but history tells us that the people of this city, they were rebelling against the Roman government. And the Romans were not going to stand for that. And history tells us that they took or even killed 30,000 people that lived there in that city. They took them as slaves. And in one day, they marched 2,000 of these people into the city of Jerusalem, and they crucified them because they were rebelling. And so you can imagine the crowd of people on that hillside that day listening to these things about mercy and about peace. You can imagine that they did not forget that. We don't forget those tragedies that happen in life, do we? Where a whole city is like wiped out. They kill the people. They burn the city. We do not forget that very often. So this is probably a politically charged crowd even that is listening to Jesus that day. And that's not much different than the politically charged crowds of today. And Jesus still yet says, how could he say this? They're probably thinking, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be children of God. You know, when they heard this, I'm sure they began to filter in their minds what peace was. We all have different ideas and visions of peace. We all do. If we went around this room and if we asked that question online, what's your version of peace? I imagine we would get different answers. And that is the problem, friends. That is the problem. We all have a different idea of peace. And it's the vision of peace of Jesus that we need to recapture in our heart, in our lives. Even the way we talk about peace, we sometimes talk about peace as the absence of conflict, right? Like just keeping the peace so there's no conflict. The absence of conflict, we think, if I can just get rid of the oppressor in my life, if I can get rid of that thing that is causing so much problem, my life will be good. And that kind of thinking, the goal is just to remove the oppressor, to remove whatever is causing the problem. But you know what the problem or the danger of living that way is? Is that then we're just going to seek to get rid of anything in our lives that we perceive as a threat. We'll get rid of anything or any idea that goes against what we think. And we'll just cancel them out. And that's what we're seeing in our society today. Oh, you're a threat. You're out of here. This idea, that doesn't line up here. And we don't seek to be peacemakers. We just keep walking out of relationships and places and walking out of people's lives because it's our own version of peace. It's not the kind of peace that Jesus talks about. living that way, we then just tend to isolate ourselves from everything and everything that doesn't, that we don't agree with. And when we do that, then how can we be peacemakers, friends? How can we build bridges with people who are far from God? We won't be very effective for his kingdom if we have that vision or that idea of peace. And so this morning, to experience God's peace and to be peacemakers, I think we need to be about three things. There's probably a lot, but you know me, I summarize it into three things every Sunday. That's just who I am, what I do. I can't get away from that. And so the number one thing in your notes, I put Jesus. We need to trust Jesus as the one who made peace with us. That's the very foundational thing. Friends, Jesus made peace with us over 400 times in God's word. God declares himself as the God of, say it really loud, the God of peace. Just trying to wake you up this morning. God begins the world in peace, does he not? Right? He wants peace with man. Hallelujah. His desire was to be at peace with us. And then we know sin enters the world, it's chaotic, but he starts right from the very beginning of having peace. Remember, Adam and Eve, they walked with God in the cool of the day. I love that. They just walked in the cool of the day. They were at peace. And then, how does the Bible end? Go turn to Revelation. There's some bad stuff that's going to happen. But God's desire is that we would be at peace with him for eternity. You know, the good news of the gospel is that he made peace with us, right? Is that he made peace with man. 2 Corinthians 5:19. I love this. This is the best news of all, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Did you hear that? God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Sin made us enemies with God. Sin makes us enemies with God. But the cross of Jesus that we celebrate brought us peace. Sin creates this chasm, this large space, this gulf between us and God. But the cross of Jesus bridged that gap, friends. That is the good news. That is the good news of the gospel. Sin broke this relationship. Guess what? The cross of Jesus restores this relationship. I love the words of the Apostle Paul. I can't say it any better than the Apostle Paul. In Romans 6:23, he says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God," right? This gift of peace is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus made peace with us. We turned our backs on Christ, but Jesus turned towards us on the cross. Some of us are turning our backs on him now, but God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world and to bring us peace. I could go on and on. Let me quote this 20th century Catholic author Thomas Merton. He said something very profound that I just love. He said, "We are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves. And we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God." Friends, God has made peace with us so that we could be at peace with him. The only way for us to experience that peace that he brings is for this internal makeover in our lives. And he did this, right? 2 Corinthians 5:19, by not counting our sins against us. That is how he's brought peace. Have you heard of, I don't know if this is new, but I don't know, in the last 5 years or 10 years, maybe, this idea of mindfulness, centering oneself, finding peace. You know, there might be some practices, even biblically, you can use to experience the peace of God. But Jesus isn't talking about like mindfulness. That could be temporary. Right? Jesus is talking about a true and lasting peace that gives us a deep sense that he's taken our guilt. He's taken our shame. And he's lifted that from us. I loved on Easter Sunday, my friend Dan, his testimony. If you haven't heard it yet, go up and talk to him. I'm putting you on the spot, sorry. But he'd gladly tell you, I'm sure, that he experienced the peace of God. Once he realized sin in his life and began to turn away from sin, he experienced this peace of God lifting all of the guilt and shame from his life. And this is what Christ has done. Jesus made peace with us. That's the first thing, friends, to accept that peace. And perhaps there's some of you watching online right now that have never experienced that, or even some of you here this morning that have never experienced that peace of God. We can simply just call on him because he is our peace, the scripture says. The second thing this morning to experience God's peace and to be peacemakers is to be rooted in Jesus as our source of peace. There's only one source of peace. Why is there so much chaos in the world? Why is it difficult to even maintain peace, even when there's peace treaties drawn up between nations? Why can't those solve everything? Why? It has to do with a person's heart. Not long ago, I had a broken pipe in my front yard, and I began to dig and dig to try to find this broken pipe. When I learned I wasn't going to be able to get to the bottom of this, I called Pastor Mac. I said, You're not working today. You're working here in my house because I am digging here forever and I can't find the source of this water that is spewing out of my yard. And so he came over. We began to dig for a half a day, and we were digging in multiple places. It was hard to find the source of this. We found what we thought was the source, but it wasn't. And we finally found it, and it was just this small little break. Some of you know all about that. But until we found the source, that problem wasn't going to be fixed. And the source of the lack of peace has to do with our heart. We haven't been transformed, haven't been born again, perhaps. Or we're fixing our eyes on a different source. And it's not bringing peace. It's bringing just the opposite. It's bringing chaos. Jesus, in Scripture, says he is our peace. He is the source, and he wants to transform our hearts. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? Some of you know it. He's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I love that word new. The word new in the original language means a new kind. It means fresh. It means recent. It means unused. It means unworn. It means novel. It means uncommon. Did you know that when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are new? You are brand new. How many of you know that? A few of you. We should say hallelujah to that. I was thinking about that this morning. And thank you, God. I'm a new person. I'm uncommon. My kids would say, yeah, you are. I'm novel. I'm unique. I'm unused. That's what God does. Jesus is the source for that. There's no other source that can create a new person. That comes through this God extending his love to us on the cross and making peace with us first. So how do we go about, you know, building a community of people, a church of peace? What is it going to be rooted in? Is it going to be rooted in all of our political ideas? Because clearly that's not working. Is it going to be rooted in some kind of cultural idea of peace? Because clearly that's not working. What is it going to be rooted in? What are you going to root your lives in when it comes to peace? You know, because the challenge here in our world, friends, is there's a lot of tribes and nations and people groups that have all different kinds of visions and ideas of peace. So what do we need to root ourselves in? It's got to be what the Bible tells us. And it's got to be what already has been poured out in your heart through Christ, through faith in Christ. It's got to be centered and rooted in Jesus, the person of Jesus. It's got to be, friends. We have got to root our lives in the person of Jesus. You know, everyone talks about, we just want to get back to the New Testament church. We just want to be like the early church. You know, because they were so good and in tune with God. But did you know the early church was so full of diversity? I mean, they had some problems. I mean, read the book of Corinthians. I mean, they had tax collectors in their church and people who cheated people out of money. I mean, they had zealots, religious fanatics. They had wealthy women who supported Jesus, and people didn't understand all that. They had the poor in the church. They had people who supported that. I mean, it was so diverse. How in the world did those people come together? And now we regard them as like, wow, that is the kind of the measure to achieve after the early church. How did that happen? Jesus. Jesus is the, you can argue with me. You'll never convince me of something otherwise. Jesus is the greatest leader ever to have ever walked the face of this earth to bring all those groups together. They were rooted in Christ. So we've got a lot of work to do, followers of Jesus, with the Lord being our helper to create this culture of peace, and Jesus must be at the center of that. Amen. Ephesians 2:14 through 15 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace." You know, these words would have been shocking to the Jews, right? Because they looked at other people around them, especially the Gentiles, the unbelievers, the people who were not a people of God. They looked at them, and you know what they called them? They called them dogs. They believed that they were inferior and just filled with Satan himself. They were enemies against God. There was a lot of racial and religious tension going on. So how did all those people come together? What was Jesus doing? Jesus himself has to be our peace. He has to be the source, friends, that we seek after and long after. Isaiah 32, verse 17 says, "The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever." Peace is the fruit of righteousness. I love how the Beatitudes build on one another. Right? In Matthew chapter 5, verse, which one was that? Verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." The fruit of righteousness, Isaiah tells us, is peace. If you want to be a peacemaker and seek after this source, Jesus, you've got to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ. That's part of being rooted in Jesus. You know, peacemakers aren't made by chance. How many of you wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm just going to be a peacemaker today? You may desire that. And somewhere throughout the day, like, it just falls apart. A peacemaker is made by God. Someone who desires and hungers after righteousness. Someone who does what Jesus is saying here in the Beatitudes. Someone who recognizes their own spiritual poverty and says, I can't be a peacemaker without God because I know the way my heart is bent. Mac said it. We're not naturally peacemakers. We may just want to crush the enemy. And so we need to hunger and thirst and be people who desire to be mercy, because a merciful person, out of a person of mercy, is one who is able to bring peace, is able to bring reconciliation, is able to bring feuding parties together and bring the peace of Jesus. Jesus has to be our source of peace, friends. The third thing this morning is I want to encourage us to long for peace. Because when we long for peace and desire peace, we're longing for Jesus himself. To long for, but not just to long for peace and think about peace. Oh, I want peace. But to be actively engaged in making peace. Right? Because Jesus said here in Matthew 5:9, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called, what does it say? Say it louder. They'll be called children of God or sons of God. That is one of the key identifiers of a follower of Jesus, is one who is a peacemaker. And we should have a lot of peacemakers walking around our town, our city, our neighborhoods. And people should be able to see, wait a minute, I think they're a child of God. They're representing Jesus. Peacemaking is a key identifier. Ephesians 6 talks about spiritual armor. And those of you who are familiar with Ephesians 6 talks about, you know, the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation. We like all of that spiritual armor, and we maybe even wake up in the morning and we say we're going to put on that armor of God. But I was reminded this week as I read Ephesians 6, there's an important thing that we need to put on every day because we don't naturally do it. It talks about being fitted with the gospel of peace. It talks about wearing shoes of peace. So that means that wherever we go, whatever we're doing, if we're fixing a broken pipe in our yard or not, whatever we're doing, we bring the gospel of peace. We are peacemakers to that situation. This last week, my wife, I just want to talk about my wife this morning. God had led her into a family's home of a different religion. People who are opposed to Jesus as their Savior. They were very fearful about, this family was very fearful about death and didn't know where they're going after they die. They were fearing. And she could have gone into that situation like just totally saying, what's your problem? Don't you know? Like, she just simply showed up and she just said, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? And after she was done praying with this family, there were tears in the eyes of this family. Why? Because the gospel of peace, she was willing to go into people that were not like her, that don't believe the same thing as her, and just to say, can I pray with you? And obviously, at some point during that prayer, God touched in a miraculous way. The peace of Christ was there on that home. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Peacemakers are those who long for peace, who desire peace. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Right? That's the goal of a peacemaker. As far as it depends on you, like, I'm going to do everything I can to bring and make peace. If a relationship falls apart, and you probably have had some in this last year that have gone sideways, as far as it depends on you, you go, you be the one to go bring the peace of Jesus Christ. The relationship should never fall apart because you didn't do anything. You should pursue that relationship. As far as it depends on you, make peace. There are sometimes, according to Paul, that sometimes that's not possible. But do what you can is the admonition there from God's word to make peace. And let me make sure to mention this, is peacemaking is costly. It costs a lot. Guess what? It cost Jesus. It cost God his son, Jesus, on the cross. And it will cost you something. It takes great humility to be a peacemaker. I think we all have people in our lives where we need to go to make peace, perhaps. But it's going to take divine intervention from Jesus in our life, the source of peace. But that's what Jesus did for us, didn't he? And when we do this, we show ourselves to be children of God. In the book of Matthew, further on in that chapter, verses 23 through 24, Jesus gives us some instruction for working for peace in our relationships. I just want to point that out here real quick. Look at verse 23 further down. It says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, right, just in worship, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Obviously, God cares a lot about reconciliation, even more about worship of him at that time. Part of worship of him is reconciliation, is part of peacemaking. He says, you know what? Lay your gift here. You go first and seek to be reconciled and to bring peace. The second thing is, in the scriptures, if someone has done something wrong, or you've done something wrong, you go right to them right away. As it says, lay your gift there and just go. We know in Matthew 18, if you are wounded in any way, you go to that person. You don't talk about it. That's not making peace. You don't talk about it with anyone else. You go right to that person. If you don't, peace is not made. If you don't, division just lingers. Walls are built up. And it corrupts and it spreads. So part of making peace is going right away to that person. Jesus further illustrates that down. Look at further on down in the passage, which we're going to hopefully get to at some point in verses 43 through 45. It says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Did you hear verse 45 again? He's saying the same thing in Matthew 9. Right? Love your enemies. That's one way of making peace. But don't just love, pray for them. Pray for them. And he says you'll be called children of God. You'll resemble children of God. But Jesus gets even more specific here in verse 47. Look at this. It says, if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? So Jesus is even saying, don't just say hello to someone. Go a step further. Go to people who don't look like you or smell like you. Go to people who might be in pain, who might be hurting from a wall that has been put up. And go to them. Isn't that what the Good Samaritan did? Is that what Jesus pointed out? He went to someone who didn't look like him, who was not from the same race, and he went. It's part of making peace. So let me go back to my original question as we close this morning. Who did you lose this last year? Is there a relationship that you have? Where did that relationship go sideways? The call is to be a peacemaker. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. As they're coming forward, I want to close with this illustration. In the 5th century, there was a monk by the name of Telemachus. He had been living by himself in the desert, totally isolated himself. He was trying his very best to be devoted to God. But he noticed that he really couldn't serve God by being isolated. And so he abandoned this life of solitude and he traveled to the city of Rome, arriving just in time to watch this battle of these Gothic prisoners. And they were being forced to battle one another to death as gladiators. It's interesting because at this time, Rome was considered a Christian nation. And ironically, people from the churches, like, just poured out of their churches, church buildings, and they began to go watch in this big arena. You know, there was this crowd of like 80,000 people, and they're just cheering these guys as they're fighting to a bloody death. Telemachus was horrified at what he saw, what he was witnessing. As he was there in that big arena, he leapt to his feet and he ran down right in the middle of that arena. He stepped in between these two bloody gladiators. And he pleaded with them to stop the conflict. The crowd began to just go crazy because this one man was delaying their event. As they watched this bloody mess take place, the crowd got so furious that they began to stone him, and they would eventually kill him. 3 days later, the emperor declared him a martyr and did away with these bloody gladiator events. He accomplished peace, didn't he? You know, these days of the gladiators are long past. But what about us here this morning? What is your arena? Where can you go? Who can you go to bring the peace of Jesus Christ? Who is God calling you to right now? Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you made peace with us. We thank you that you built this bridge that brought salvation, wholeness to us. And Lord, I don't know if there's another point in history where we need peace, where people need to be right with you and we need to be right with each other. And so, may it be true of us, as far as it depends on us, the followers of Jesus, right here, right now, in this place. May we move from just being a keeper of peace to being a maker of peace. Would you call us to this work? Would you make us peacemakers? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just stand to your feet and we'll close in this last song.
Earlier this morning, I read from Psalm 34, the beginning of that psalm, but later on,